You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
The new top-up well-being campaign for Mental Health Awareness Week. We have Mark Wilson from the Mental Health Foundation here to talk about that and, I guess, the general state of mental health in Aotearoa. Good morning to you, Mark. How are we?
Yeah, kia ora, Zach. I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Things are going pretty good, man. I'm recovering from a birthday weekend, so I had a lot of fun. I had a great deal of fun. Yeah.
Excellent. Good on you.
Yeah. It's good to, you know, celebrate yourself. I think that's how, that's one way I'm improving my mental health, or have over the weekend.
Exactly. It's so true. And this theme of this top up together is all about social connection. So I'm assuming you had a birthday party with friends and mates and stuff.
It was just me, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and no, a lot of friends.
Oh, we wouldn't recommend the Jack Daniels.
No.
But definitely that social connection, such a crucial part to our well-being. You know, when we hang out with other people. And, you know, you've got a squad that you do your thing with and you connect, it just lifts your well-being. And that's ultimately what this campaign's about.
Completely. And I'm not too sure if you know a whole lot about Dunedin, but it's a place where if you stick around long enough, a lot of your friends can't leave. So you have to make new friends. And that's definitely been a little bit of a struggle of mine over the past two or so years. But I did have a bunch of friends to hang out with on Friday, and it was beautiful. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, the world's quite transient now, and it's and I totally get that, you know, when you live in a place and it's a student town predominantly, so it's just finding those connections. So we're all about think about volunteering or joining a group or a club or something like that, which kind of means forces you to meet people, you know, and easier said than done for me when I've lived in Auckland for 25 years, you know, and I feel like I know lots of people.
When I was in high school, people were starting to talk about mental health as a serious thing. It felt like that was when people started to be like, New Zealand has a real problem with this. And it became much more of a public discourse. Do you think New Zealanders have really woken up to the reality that mental health is a serious topic?
Yes. And it's about time. You know, it's always been, traditionally, it's been one of those things that we have kept quiet about our own thing. Also, when you live with a mental illness, say, it's quite it's a really hard thing to talk about. And because there's a lot of stigma and shame around that and what that means, and often getting support feels like a hard thing. But we really encourage people at the Mental Health Foundation to find that support that you need, and they may be able to help you getting to the services that might benefit you. But, you know, the more we talk about mental health, less stigmatized it becomes. And all of us have mental health. This is the thing. You know, we forget that we talk about our injuries from sport or whatever it is we're doing, you know, physical injuries, but actually we have a lot of mental stuff as well. And that is part of being human. So I think it's something like half of us during our lifetime will have some sort of mental illness, you know? So it's sort of, let alone mental distress is quite a different thing. Or, you know, when you've got exam pressure, which many of your listeners probably have now, that can really impact on your well-being. And then all this other life stuff that we travel with can really all come together and sometimes make life a bit tough. But if you can share with people, and you've got a good support crew, that can help you get through, you know?
Completely agree. And adding on to the sort of ambient pressures of the modern world, if you look at the news, you'll probably feel some existential anxiety from time to time as well. So, you know, there's lots to choose from if you're talking about mental health.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you know, we always encourage people during heavy, intense news cycles, just take a break, you know? Take a break from doom scrolling. I mean, far out. You know, it is so intense, what's happening in our world. So, you know, try and shake up your algorithm, you know, put some, I don't know, I've got a whale site at the moment, which is really cool. I'm watching whales breach and sleep and all that sort of nice stuff. And then the next item is going to be something hideous. But, you know, it's like disrupting the normal patterns, I think, is a really important thing, you know. And that could be, hey, put the phone down. Easier said than done, I know.
Yeah, for me and my algorithm, it's silly cat videos. And that does...
Oh, yes.
That,
well, yeah.
That does me plenty.
Hey, that's so good. So good. I love all the AI-generated ones, you know, where the cat's coming out of the ice cream machine, you know? yeah.
Oh, man. Now, funding for mental health... in recent memory, under this new coalition government, seems like it has increased, in particular, the field of eating disorders. I've heard a lot of good things about Matt Ducey in terms of his ability to network and to push for, I guess, the interests of those in the mental health field. How has it been doing under this most recent government?
Well, I guess the first thing is that we've actually got, for the first time ever, we've got a mental health minister, which is a great thing. So the government's sort of focusing on this as a distinct thing from overall health. So that's a really good thing. Of course, demand for services and support is always, you know, it's a really hard thing to meet. And I think that's their challenge is how do you provide the services, meaningful services in a quick period of time for people, and particularly for youth. And I've got to personally have a strong interest in the need for youth mental health services. So it's there's a lot of work to do. And part of our role at Mental Health Foundation is to advocate for to ensure that the service delivery is appropriate and timely, you know, because there'll be a lot of your listeners will be going, oh man, you know, you try and get something in the way of service delivery through, you know, to Whareroa, and it can take a long time. Mm. Although I know that your student mental health services are pretty awesome as well.
They are, but you have pretty slim pickings in terms of availability. You really have to get up as soon as the student health clinic opens and call them if you haven't already got sort of counselling sessions booked. If you have to get the ball rolling, it's really tricky to do that.
It is tricky, you know, and that's the thing. And in a way, I can't, because everyone thinks, oh, God, man, there's so much demand on services. And that's part of that earlier question you said where we've become more aware of the importance of our mental health and well-being, and maybe as young people we're far more exposed. You know, I'm a crusty old 60-year-old, you know, but compared to, you know, if you're 19 now, it's quite different to what it was back in the early 80s for me. You just kind of, even though there was still probably a very similar amount of mental distress going on, it was just not talked about, you know, and student services then were nothing compared to what they are now. So, you know, just push away and plug away at getting those appointments, eh?
Amen to everyone who's doing that right now. Yeah, now, there's five core ideas around topping up your mental state and your mental well-being. These include connecting with others, giving up to others, taking notice or being present, keeping on learning so you can pick up a new hobby or revisit old interests, and being active. The Mental Health Minister, Matt Ducey, said that this initiative is evidence-based. Do we know whereabouts this evidence comes from?
Yeah, there's they're called the Five Ways to Wellbeing, and so they were created out of the UK, and there's quite a few decades of research now around the five ways to wellbeing, the five things, activities you've said. So I can't cite anything for you right now, I know, but we have a lot. There's a lot of information on our website, mahaw.nz, so mhaw.nz, where you can find that sort of research. But yeah, it's all those things, little bits of those activities, like, you know, take notice is a classic one. When I'm staring blankly out the window when I'm meant to be working, I'm looking now at how, you know, the buds on the trees are starting to, leaves are starting to form. And simple little things like that, or it could be that you get into more of a mindfulness kind of exercise kind of thing, or breathing and all those sort of things. You know, it doesn't have to be huge. And like that, be active is also, you know, you could walk to the dairy instead of, you know, getting Uber Eats or something.
If you want to combine both, walk around without your headphones on and just hear the sound of the wind from the trees or the water running nearby. You know, it's a beautiful world we live in.
Yeah. You should work in mental health, because that's it. That's the thing, you know. We block out so much of the world when actually there's a lot of good stuff in the world too, you know. So just New experiences, that's the thing, and they can be little as taking your headphones off.
How do you plan? Do you have any major plans to do any of these particular five well-being practices?
Yeah, because I've got my life together, I try to bring in one of those activities a day at least, or observe it and go, I've just done one of my five way things. Like, I also give. I like the give aspect of the five ways to well-being, and that's I give of my time. So I work with people bereaved by suicide, and I kind of support them. I run a support group here in Auckland, so that's something I do voluntarily and enjoy doing, connecting with people as well. So, you know, these sort of things happen incidentally. I bike to work, you know, so there's my be active. I love connecting, even when I'm working from home like I am today. I'll just go to a local cafe at some point, have a coffee, and saying hello to the barista is tick. There's my connect box done. And talking to you is part of my keep learning as well. So there you go. It's not even 9 o'clock, and I've done pretty much all of those things.
Kā pai. Now, as well as these five initiatives, Top Up is also going to help you guys launch a podcast hosted by, oh my gosh, I don't know how to pronounce their name.
Oh, Jihan Kasanada.
Jihan Kasanada, yes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be sharing stories from prominent New Zealanders, including Stan Walker, and they're going to be talking about moments of their lives that shaped their mental health. How did this come together?
Well, we realised that we need to kind of, people like hearing other people's stories, you know, and part of that was like, let's jump on the podcast bandwagon. Jihan has a lived experience of suicidal ideation, so he was like, and he's been a journalist, so, you know, really good journalist, and so we kind of went, okay, who would we want to listen to? So Stan kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a 25-minute interview, and he talks really candidly about living with anxiety and all those kind of things and the strategies he puts in place to do things. Then we've got Miyamoto, who is, you know, the boxing champ. She's an amazing woman. And Abbas Nazari, who Afghani refugee who's settled in New Zealand and awesome man. So those are three we've got in the cam. We've got a few more coming up as well. So, you know, it's just a way of hearing other people's experiences of, managing their mental health, you know. So mental health doesn't have to be a really scary kind of thing. It can actually be it's really helpful hearing other people's, this is what happened to me and this is how I overcame something, or this is what I implement into my life to give me that, connectedness and groundedness.
I think it's really important to be talking about these, when you're having a real bad time. A prominent moment for me that really was quite pivotal for my mental health was in 2020, during COVID, and then after COVID, I felt quite scrambly at university. I didn't really know what I was meant. I didn't really enjoy what I was studying at the time. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with life. And as a consequence, I failed four papers at university, and I was put on conditional enrollment, which wasn't very fun. And that meant if I didn't get my shit together within the next year, I would be suspended from university. Thankfully, I did get my shit together, and that was actually quite pivotal. It's kind of like a wake up, smell the coffee moment. What's a prominent moment from your life that's sort of shaped your mental health?
Well, I guess for me personally, I lost my wife to suicide 19 years ago, and that was a hugely significant event, life-changing event, and it set me off into the work I'm doing now at the Mental Health Foundation. You know, I was working in media at the time, and I suddenly went, you know what, I just need a bit of purpose. I need to do something. I need to be able to give back to the community, because I knew the impact of that sort of death on people. So I sort of live with that, and I kind of go, what got me through that was just having a good bunch of mates. Oh my God, I was really lucky to have that. And that's why I do this bereavement support work, is that for some people they don't have that, but if I feel like I'm in facilitating that connection, that's got to be a good thing, you know.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for the incredible work that you do, Mark. You are out there making the world a better place day after day. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, thanks, Zach. That's a great affirmation. Good on you.
No worries. Take care, man. Do you have any final? Yeah, sorry. Actually, do you have any final words for our lovely listeners?
Oh yeah, just you know, if you want to kind of get into the Mental Health Awareness Week thing, go to Mahaw, MHAW.nz, and take a break from that study because I know you'll be heading into study time. Just have a quick. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to go hiking all the way to, you know, the top of the South Island. You can just a good 20-minute brisk walk with some mates. So good for you. It clears your head or you can refocus. So that would be my my little takeaway. Mm. It sounds so earnest and pious, but anyway.
No.
That's what we're trying to achieve, you know?
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thank you for your time, Mark. I really appreciate it. And awesome. Ka pai for doing the Lord's work. You're a genius.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Right. Great to talk.
Thank you. All right, folks, that was Mark Wilson from the Mental Health Foundation. We're talking to him about their Top Up Wellbeing campaign. We're going to play a track from Jim Croce. We've got Tomorrow's Going to Be a Brighter Day, and then we've got the Gig Guide. So I'll see you in about 3 or so minutes for the Gig Guide. Here's Jim Croce with Tomorrow's Going to Be a Brighter Day. You're listening to The One.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.